Pretty much everyone's got a mobile device nowadays. In fact, lots of feds even carry more than one. The security of those devices and the apps on them has become increasingly important, though. And how can you better secure them, and just what is the state of mobile security now? For some answers, I spoke to Matt Clemens. He's a security solutions architect at Arxan Technologies. The short answer is there's a lot of work to do.
My company, we do a study every year where we look at the top 100 paid apps and then a handful of the top free apps in both the Apple and the Google Play stores, the official stores. And what we do is we look to see, you know, can we see hacked versions of these applications that exist somewhere out in the wild? And we look across a number of verticals, you know, financial, retail. And last year we also started looking at the healthcare space. And across the board, for both platforms, iOS and Android, you know, we can find hacked versions of these applications out there. And on average, it's, I want to say, about 90% across both platforms. And so it really is a problem. And as, you know, we continue to do more and more with our mobile devices and the rate of app downloads is really growing exponentially, it's something that, you know, both people and, you know, companies that are pushing applications out there need to be aware of.
Now, when you say hacked version, does that mean that there's some sort of a backdoor or trap or cybersecurity vulnerability built into it? And if so, How does it get onto the Play Store or to the iOS market, to the App Store?
Yeah, good question. So what the hackers will do is they will take the official app that anybody can pull off of the public app stores. They'll reverse engineer it to try to understand how it works and maybe look for a vulnerability that they can exploit. And then there's a couple things they can do from there. They can repackage the app and sign it so it looks just like the official version. Now, they're not going to be able to upload it onto the official stores, but there are a number of third-party app stores out there for both iOS and Android devices that they may upload these apps to. And it's very common that, you know, somebody may be, for whatever reason, browsing one of these third-party stores, they go, here's my banking app, or here's my, you know, my app for my health insurance company, and they'll download it from this unofficial store, not realizing that that version of the app actually has a piece of malware embedded in it. The other attack vector is, you know, they can understand how the application works and then build another application that has malware embedded in it that actually, you know, watches for activity in that, you know, it's the original app that the original company published. But on the device, they're able to watch to, you know, maybe intercept your credentialing when you're logging into your bank, for example. And they may be, you know, maybe intercept that information and redirect it to a server somewhere. And so in that case, you don't necessarily even have to download a hacked version of the app. You've got the official app, but maybe your kids have downloaded a game from somewhere that, you know, you're not aware of. I don't know how often your kids hand you your device and say, hey, Mom, can we download this? And you're like, yeah, whatever. You know, so that's another very real threat vector that's out there.
So for the enterprise user, then, that takes you back to the basics, and that is don't put anything that's not vetted and approved on a device that's going to be used for enterprise, especially games and letting your kids touch it.
Yeah. So for the enterprise user, and one of the interesting things here that I ran into this week is, you know, on both devices, on an iOS device, the key thing is, you know, don't jailbreak your device. And on an Android device, there's a setting in the security settings that say, hey, only allow apps from official app stores to be downloaded onto this device. And that's great. But and a lot of times, if you're an enterprise user and your company is using some type of mobile device or mobile application management, you know, they're going to point you to, you know, your corporate app store. And in that case, you actually have to turn that setting off to allow you to get to your corporate apps. But then that leaves you vulnerable for something that maybe your kids download from some other app store. So, yeah, the key is, you know, make sure you know where you're getting your applications.
We're speaking with Matt Clemens. He's a sales engineer and a security expert at Arxan. And so for federal agencies that have app stores, then they need to do a couple of things. Let me ask you this. Is there a way of having an app store detect when a device is open in that manner, when it hooks up to the app store?
Well, there's not really a way for the device to know if they're talking to a nefarious app store. But what companies can do and what we profess and you know, the solutions that we're proliferating out into the market really allow you to build that intelligence into the application itself. So if you're a corporate user and you've got important corporate apps, or if you're a company that is deploying applications that do important stuff for your customers, then you can detect, hey, am I running on a device that might be compromised? Maybe it's jailbroken. Maybe it's, if it's an Android device, it's what they call rooted, such that it has access to certain things that it shouldn't be. And if so, what do I want to do about it? You know, do I want to allow either this transaction to take place, or do I want to shut the application down? Do I want to tell the user, you know, hey, your device has been compromised, so you're not going to be able to download this application or perform this transaction or whatever the case may be.
So if you're an agency, or you're the CIO, you're in charge of what public apps might be available through your own agency or departmental app store, or corporate, if you're a contractor, what can you do to the apps before you put them onto that store to make sure that they are not the hacked version, or they don't have something you don't want going along with them?
Yeah, so if you're developing, you know, say some key applications that are important for your agency or your business, what you can do is you can protect those applications themselves so that, A, it's very difficult, and if an attacker was able to get access to whether it's a public or a private app store and download the actual binary, they're not going to be able to reverse engineer it to understand, you know, A, how it works, and then be able to make a hacked version. So that's one aspect that you can take, and the other aspect is you can, you know, there are solutions out there as well that allow you to control what you can put on your device, but typically your employees are going to be very hesitant. If you try to put restrictions on them to say, hey, you know, you can't download the latest game, the latest whatever else you need, to run your personal life. And that's where actually building the protection into the application itself can strike a nice balance there.
And so it's you're recommending app wrapping or that kind of thing as preferable to having a sequestered zone or a sandbox on the device, or should you do both?
You can do both, but in app wrapping is one aspect. But in addition to that, what Arxen does is we actually allow you to, you know, you're not just wrapping the app, you're not just putting a policy on it that says, hey, I can only run on this phone. You're actually building protection into the application itself. So even if a bad guy can still get a hold of an application that's been wrapped and tear it apart, reverse engineer it, understand how it works. I think there's a place for all of those techniques for agencies or corporations to kind of secure their mobile environment.
And are there any languages that people use to develop apps that are inherently safer than others?
Yeah, in general, the lower level languages are going to be much more secure. So that's if you're developing in C or C++, as opposed to a lot of mobile applications, especially in the Android world, are developed in Java. And Java just inherently is much easier to reverse engineer. And, you know, there's even some higher level aspects like JavaScript and HTML5 that really, you know, provide no security in terms of somebody being able to just, you know, kind of pull the JavaScript off the device that runs the app and understand how it works. So the closer you can stay to, you know, at least implementing your critical functionality in a lower level language, the better you'll be from a security perspective.
And if you operate in the open source space, are you better protected because there are so many eyes on that code that is being used?
That's an interesting question. I think, you know, open source is good from that perspective that there are many eyes on the code, that so presumably security vulnerabilities will get vetted out over time. But over the last couple of years, we've seen a few instances. The Heartbleed bug is just, you know, one case where, you know, there was open source software that was sitting out there for years that companies had deployed on servers around the world that really had a critical bug in it. So that's one aspect of it. And the other thing is, even if you're deploying open source software, there's nothing that will prevent someone from pulling the smarts out of the app, so to speak, and modifying what could be perfectly secure open source software to do something it's not supposed to be doing. So that's where, if you actually have the application itself protected, the bad guys are going to be prevented from doing something like that.